cut through all the forest and blew me out and trees and all that in the south and got a good dose of it. Now I'm over here getting another dose of it. So if my allergies bought me some, I'm sorry about that, but I just can't do anything about it. Try to do what I can, but hopefully won't serve for 2 months. I want you to turn to the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew and think about the Sermon on the Mount and how Jesus, it seemed by the way it is worded that he preached this sermon on more than one occasion. He must have went around preaching it to a lot of places because it really illustrates quite clearly what this kingdom is all about. The kind of attitude we ought to have in this kingdom. We look at ourselves and look at other people and that, and be careful about how we use our religion. The old devil wants us to use our religion to be a parade and to show off and to be hypocritical. So we've got to watch about all things like that. We've got to learn to treat other people the way we would like to be treated. And so many things Jesus said in the sermon really are challenging things to think about. And you would kind of think, well, you know, when you get through looking at all that sermon, if you're like me, you kind of say, oh, man, I thought it would be a little easier than this. But actually, it's trying to realize, even though you think, well, I haven't committed murder, I'm not doing that, but I've got hatred in my heart for somebody. And I haven't committed adultery, haven't done that. Well, I've been looking on people and thinking certain things. And so when you begin to look at all of this, showing how it comes down to really what is inside of the heart of a person. And when Jesus makes this statement in the 7th chapter, verse 1, beginning, about how we ought not to judge, because whatever judgment we issue is going to be issued to us in return. And so the warning there about hasty judgment, unfair judgment. Sometimes we judge the hearts of people. We think we know what they're thinking. We don't know them. And we need to really be on guard about how we do that and make sure that we do, as John 7:24 says, that we judge righteous judgment. We look at what the Bible says, and we let the Bible make that judgment, and we try to leave the rest of that in the hands of God. And so when you think about that, and then you come down to the 13th verse of the 7th chapter, and you find Jesus telling these people to enter into this narrow, confining, straight, and restricted way, because broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many be which go in there, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Now think about that for a minute or two. In this sermon Jesus has just preached, he's not coming to the conclusion of it, and he's saying things like, I'm commanding you, I'm not requesting of you, I'm commanding you to enter into this confined and restricted, straight, this is the way we spell our word, straight jacket. I've never been in one, but I probably should have been a time or two. So here's something that is very restrictive and straining and difficult. It's not easy. I wish that going to heaven was easy, but it's not that way. It's a task that is challenging. Do you feel and sense that? Do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever get frustrated about what? Why are we worried about all this? We're fussing about that and all concerned about all this. Does that ever become weary to you? If you understand the reason why we do that, just look at people who don't do it. When people give up, say, well, it doesn't matter about that. Just do what you want, and we're free, and love and mercy and all those things cover everything, so we don't have to worry about that. You look at where those people end up. They end up just embracing every kind of ungodly thing that ever comes. And so it's because they opened up the door and let something in that the Lord didn't want in there. And so that's why we've got to try to be on guard. I was just saying this morning, studying 2 John, where John over and over talks about how he loves the children in truth, walk in the truth, and if any man does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God, and how John just shows over and over, and he says, watch, and we just sang a song, watch and pray. We need to watch, John says, and be careful, look for yourself, lest you lose what you have already worked for. See, we can lose this. And so I'm just trying to, and this week, just trying to remind us to be careful. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to frustrate you or discourage you or make you think it's too hard. It's not too hard. We can do it, and we can do it, but now we can't do it by ourselves. We need to understand that. You will get discouraged. You think, I've got to be perfect in this because you can't do that. And you think, well, maybe I've got to live. I tell that lady who went to the hospital. I think that more than once to me. And she was just about at the end of the road, and she said, oh, Gary, I just am so afraid. She said, I just don't think I'm worthy. I don't think I deserve heaven. I said, God bless you. You figured it out, didn't you? You figure that you're not worthy. You're not going to deserve it. Do we understand that? It's mercy. It's grace. It's the love of God. We're going to need that to get there. We can't do this on our own. But we've got to see that God's telling us to be on guard and to be careful. Because you know what verse 15 says in Matthew, the 7th chapter? That there are going to be false teachers. They're going to be, beware of those who come to you in sheep's clothing, but enter the raving wolves. So there are going to be people, Jesus, listen, there are going to be a lot of people trying to lead you off, get you to go this way, get you to do that. And believe me, you know, there's going to be a lot of folks like that. And so don't go by the preacher wearing a blue coat with a polka dot tie and he's got his hair combed in his eyes. Don't pay attention to that. Don't look at that. Look at what the preacher says. And you know them, Jesus said, by their fruit, you see. And when you think about that idea, in the 12th chapter of Matthew, Jesus made it clear that, you know what, when they tried to attribute his work to the devil, don't you understand? If I'm doing this by the power of God, the source and the root of what I'm doing, and so you look at my works, you look at my fruit, you look at my life, and what I'm saying, you know that that's the truth. And so we need to look at people and see that if they're teaching what's right and it agrees with the Bible, well, let's hold on to that and hold on to them. But if they start doing something to the devil, let's be careful. But now notice what that says. First of all, this sermon, we need to see, is a divisive sermon. Have you ever thought about that? Because when Jesus goes on to illustrate this in the 21st verse, he said, let me tell you how it is. There are going to be people in the judgment day who are going to say unto me, Lord, Lord. And Jesus said, not everyone, and if you literally read it, no, not one that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me, now listen to the claims Jesus made. You need to do my Father's will. In the judgment day, you're going to say to me, Lord, we're not prostrate in thy name, and I ain't going to need anyone for work. Here are these people doing all these amazing, they're religious people who appear to be religious, who outdo me by millions of miles. They do more, they're more active, more concerned, and they do all sorts of things more than me. And I see that all the time. And I know those people are surpassing me by a million miles. But I need to realize my problem is, do I try to keep doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing? You see, I need to try to keep myself on track, and I think, well, maybe I need to sweep over and do all those things, then just get involved in all that, and just kind of forget some things that the Lord's restricted. And so when you look at Matthew 7, you see Jesus saying there are two roads here. There are two kinds of people. There are people who do, and what is the issue, Jesus? Those who do my Father's will. And those people are going to stand in the judgment day. And he goes on to show them out the rest of this chapter that they're people who let their wives do and build a house on a rock. And the people who don't do what his Father says are people who build the same castle, you see. But you see, they're all building, they're all doing something, and they all appear religious. And just like these teachers who come to you in sheep clothing, that they appear to be doing so much good and saying so many wonderful things. Think about how many buildings you drove by today coming over here. People who teach all sorts of different things. We all feel this allurement. All these what are called sovereign voices. Foreign voices calling us. Come over here, we got this. And come over here, we got that. And come, we've got this. And so we've got all the surroundings of us calling us to go and do something different. And Jesus said, let me tell you, the issue is, are you doing my Father's will? Because in the judgment day, there will be people who thought they were God's people. Did you notice that? They said, we did these things in your name. We did these miraculous works in your name. We did all these great things. But what does Jesus say to those people who it appeared and it sounded like and it looked like they were doing it? He said to those people, depart from me. Depart from me, for I never knew you. I never approved of you, ye workers of iniquity, or our lawlessness. That means they were doing things, but they weren't careful about that. I'm just trying to say, let's be careful. I just see so many times, it seems like we're just kind of If we're not careful, we're going to get slipping around here, sliding around, fall down. And as Second John tells us, we may lose what we've wrought so far. So when you look at this Sermon on the Mount, and you look at the command of Jesus to come into this confined, restricted way, because there's two ways, there's two kind of people, some who are appearing to do it and some who are doing it. There's two kind of builders, and there's two outcomes, two solutions, and those who don't go the narrow way, but go the broad way, that way leads to destruction, and many are going that way. And so it's so easy to get caught up. And you ever talk to somebody that says all religion is the same? I was talking to a man one time. He said, all Chinese look exactly alike. I said, you don't know any Chinese people, do you? He said, no, I really don't. I said, well, if you ever get to know some, you'll know they don't look alike. And he said, well, you know what? He said, I kind of feel like sometimes that all black people look like you. I said, you don't know many black people, do you? He said, well, no, I know. I said, if you get to know me, you'll find out they look different. And he said, well, it's kind of like religion. All religion is the same, it looks the same. And I said, well, have you ever studied Hindu religion or the Muslim religion or the Sikhs or some of those other religions in the world and seen what they believe? Just go around in America and look at all the different religions and study. You know why they wear different names? He said, no, why? I said, because they're not the same. I said, you've never been part of all those religions, have you? He said, no. I said, you're part of them? He said, no, but I think they're all the same. I said, well, that's why you think they're the same. As if you ever get your Bible, start reading it, and look what people see, you're going to find out they are not the same. They don't leave the same place. They're not doing the same thing. They're not going the same way. And if we can just see how serious a matter it is to get on the course where I want to go the easy way and find the most pleasing way for me, let me tell you, going to heaven is going to be a challenge. And it's going to wear the hide plumb off of it. And you're going to get more out. But let me tell you, you will have joy. You'll have peace of mind. You'll have rest. Your conscience will be clean. Because you can think about what God says and you can believe what God says. And you can have hope and know that you can do it. Because God said, listen, I'm going to have you do it, but you be careful. You see. You watch and you be careful. And so I tell people a lot of times when I look at these illustrations in the Bible where Jesus paints these pictures of how it is to get there, how to go somewhere. That, have you ever thought about this principle? I tell this a lot. Sometimes I think the illustrations might help you see something. Maybe they're blind. I'm not sure. I went to Zimbabwe years ago and went out to a place called Victoria Falls. We took a train ride from Bulawayo down the southern part of Zimbabwe, rode all the way across the country, 15 hours all the way up to up to Victoria Falls, and did a lot of work up there, and did a lot of good up there. We got ready to leave, we got on a train, we were coming back, and in the middle of the country comes up in a mountain like that, and the train driver fell asleep at night, so we were driving, we went about 7 hours, got about halfway there, we got up that peak. He went to sleep, we got to speed up to the hill, and so we got the train, the engine got up on top of the hill, and all of a sudden, so we had to back up a whole hour, and drive an hour backwards and come back again with an hour speed to get over that mountain and get down to Bulawayo. So 16 hours to get down to Bulawayo. Then I should have told you, got in an ox cart and came out of the bush and got over to the roadway and got on one of these three-wheel rickshaw and rode to a bus station, got on a bus and went to town. And so I thought when I left it, come on my set and watch, it took me 56 hours to get home. 56 hours. And on the train, they call the trains ropes coaches. If you go sleep, ropes will get in your mouth, try to get in your mouth for some reason. I don't know. I guess you got food in there. I don't know. But it's just amazing. The things that I went through to get home took me 56 hours. And I tell people, what if somebody would have said to me, listen, we're going to let you go home on a France Air jet, fly you up in the sky. We're going to fly at a Mach 1 speed. And we're gonna get up in the outer atmosphere and come down, and we're gonna fly over Madison, Indiana, but we're not going to land. We're gonna let you watch a movie in your state going home. It's gonna be easy, no trouble, no problem, no challenge. But when we get to Madison, we're not gonna land. We're gonna fly over Madison and let you look at where you want to go, and when we run out of gas, we're gonna crash and burn. Now, which way do you want to go home? You want to go home 56 hours, road coach, and all the trouble, and get home? You see, Destination is far more important than the mode of travel. Don't ever worry about the mode of travel to go to heaven. It's hard. There are challenges. There are things to give up, things to control, hardship to face. Don't let that bother you. You make up your mind, I want to make sure when I get finished, I was not on the road to destruction. Or like those who built their house on the sand, when Jesus said, when the storm came, those on the house that built the sand, he said, great was the fall of it, but the house was crushed and destroyed. Can you imagine having a religion your whole lifetime? And serving God and thinking, Lord, I'm doing it. And it looks like you are doing it. But Jesus said, in reality, you're not doing it. And so there's a warning for us, a danger for us. And if we can sense and see today that this is a divisive message to divide people into two categories. There's only two groups. My God, oh, no, there are hundreds. No, there's only two groups. There's those who do the Father's will and those who are not. And there are those who must stand in the judgment day and say to Jesus, we did it. And he's going to say, no, you didn't. But there will be those who say, Lord, we did it. And he said, yes, I know you did. He knows that, you see. And when you look at this chapter, look at this conclusion, think about how many times in the Bible you see great leaders doing this. In Deuteronomy 3rd chapter, when Moses was writing the book of Deuteronomy, he urged the people, listen, I'm putting before you today life and death. You decide today. Have you noticed how many times he said, today, today, today? You know what you need to decide about us today? Decide to make what we're going to do. You see it in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. You see it in Joshua, the 14th chapter, when Jeremiah said, that's for me and my house, verses 13 through 15. We'll serve the Lord. You all decide what you're going to do. We're going to serve the Lord. You see this over and over in the Bible. In 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter, verse 21, Elijah said, how long are you guys going to stand between two opinions here? Make up your mind, you see. God is saying, let me tell you something about Christianity. Make up your mind about that. Set your mind, Colossians 3, verse 1, on things above. Seek first the kingdom of God. Make up your mind today about that, you see. If we could ever make up our mind that I want to get home, I want to have heaven for my ending place. I know what's going to mean. I've got to come back to church. When we come back today, 2 o'clock or something like that. You say, 2 o'clock? Well, that's the time I'll watch my television show on Sunday afternoon. Or that's the time I go over and drink my coffee at McDonald's with my old buddies, you know. And we've got to decide what we're going to do. We've got to make up our minds about that. And Jesus said, listen, it's confined and restricted, but it is divisive. It's a divisive message. The Bible divides people into two categories. But I want you to see something else. It's a demanding message. Jesus said, let me command you. Let me command you to go into this narrow, restricted way. So don't ever get tired. We lose people every once in a while. They just get tired of the fuss and the fight. Oh, I'm tired. And you know, if I would soften up and limber up, I wouldn't get all this hate mail and trouble from people, and sometimes brethren who just can't stand me and hate me and hate my family. If I just loosened up and got a little more progressive and do what other people do, the church in Madison could grow, and I could be so much easily liked and have such greater favor with people if I would just do that. That's the temptation, you see. But we need to see that Jesus tried to say, listen, I want you to see I'm trying to draw you. I'm trying to draw you. I'm demanding you to come into the narrow way and to walk in this narrow way. And so when I think about what that says, in this 7th chapter of Matthew, I've told this story about my dad years ago. I bought a brand new Dodge van in 1973. Got out of the military and bought a brand new Dodge van. It was almost cargo van. No seats in it or anything. Just had two driver's seat and passenger seat. No carpet in it. I went down to see my dad. He said, hey, Dad, how do I get my new van? He said, oh, I'm glad you came. I'm glad you brought that new van. I said, my dad. He said, I bought two cabs up the road here, and my truck broke down. I can't get them home. I said, Dad, you're going to put your new cabs in my old one. He said, they're only about 100 pounds. He said, you can get in the back and hold on to their heads and hold on to them, and we'll go slow. He said, matter of fact, we'll go through the creek where there's no traffic, nobody else will. We'll go slow down through the creek, and we'll take it easy, and we'll bring them home, by the way. I said, are you sure, Dad? He said, oh, yeah, come on, let's do it. I said, oh, Dad, I don't know. I said, my wife's with me. She may kill me if we do this. And so anyway, I said, okay, so we went over there. And these calves were a little over 100 pounds apiece. And I used to be, believe it or not, fairly strong. But I got a hold of this enough, there was no traffic. We were traveling all alone. Nobody passing us. Nobody getting blown a horn at us or getting into us. We were going around sharp rocks and trees and down through the water and all the way. It was treacherous and difficult, and there was nobody trying to pass us. And those calves got a little excited and kind of buttered that place up inside and got slippery, and we got to slide everywhere in there, you know. But we got home, and we made it. And we were going all alone on the road. Sometimes Christianity, you feel like, almost like I'm all alone. I took my older son John to college in Florida years ago. This was a bad hurricane come up. We went across Florida, and we ripped about a mile-wide strip across the state of Florida. And while we were driving down there through the night, all the cars on the other side of the interstate were backed up as far as we could see for miles, going out of Florida, going up to the north. And I said to my wife, it was about two or three cars on the side of me. I said, I think I'm going the wrong way. I feel kind of awkward here. She said, I don't know why. You always do that, you know. But you know, sometimes you feel like you're going the wrong way. You ever notice that? You feel like, maybe I'm making a mistake here. No. Jesus said, don't get weary. Don't be troubled. Don't be bothered by the fact that the world is a fugitive. You're the one going home. They're running away from God. Don't you get troubled by that. You just go. And you do what God said. Because this message is a drawing message. He's trying to cause us to come to him. He's commanding us to come in the way that he lived and do what he said. And to be careful, be on guard. That's what I'm trying to say. I know it may sound like I'm trying to discourage you, but I'm not. I'm wanting you to see that we can do this. But we've got to realize that you're going to sense and feel sometimes. If you haven't felt that, maybe you haven't been thinking the way you should think sometimes, because sometimes you're going to feel like it. I just feel like I'm kind of alone here, you know. I'm all by myself. There's nobody else on this road. So maybe I might be wrong. Well, you might be. But put your trust in what you can read. And just keep taking that journey and taking that route. Because one day, you're going to find out that a lot of people have made it look right and said all the right things and appeared to be doing right. But they were not doing what they should have been doing. And the Lord knows about that. So you make sure you're one of the people who says, well, let me see. Now, I know we argued about that before. That one time I talked to a lady and she said, how can I use that to argue with my neighbor? I said, you don't want to argue with your neighbor. You want to study the Bible. So you put your feet down on the ground and walk in the way to please God. That's why you read the Bible. Let's not let this work. Let's not let the majority, let's not let the crowd, let's not let the movement of all the progressive things that we see in the world get in our way and discourage us from going home. We want to make sure when this all is said and done, what's the worst thing that could happen to a person? You ever ask that? My sister got some kind of cancer, and she lived long enough for her body where you could just about see every bone in her body. I don't know what caused it, but her teeth looked like her teeth had turned black. She didn't look like a living being. And I would go and see her. And I can remember thinking, I don't know what could happen to a person that could be worse than to live the way she's living. But I thought about what it must be like. Stand at the end of the road before the Lord. And for the Lord to look at you or to look at me, and maybe you did it because I was afraid to tell you the truth, or maybe you did it because you didn't want to believe the truth, or you didn't want to obey the truth, but the Lord is saying, I don't know who you are. Depart from me. Get away from me. Because you practice lawlessness. Let's be careful. Can we see that? If you're here this morning and everybody in the gospel, you might say, well, I just don't see any real need in that. Well, that's the trouble, you see. We don't see the need in it. But when the Lord says something, we need to say, okay, you're here this morning, want to come and confess your lips, you believe Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, have the desire to change your will and do what God says, and to go down to this, I guess there's water back here. I was in a place one time and said that and said, no, there's no water here. We've got to go somewhere else. But I guess there's water here. We can go take you down into the water grave of tomb. You can be buried in the death of Christ, and where you contact His blood. Your sins can be washed away if you believe what God said. And you can have what I've got. I used to be a terrible sinner. I mean, I've done about everything wrong. I haven't killed anybody, but I've done about everything wrong. My conscience is clean today because I believe what the Bible says. That can happen to you this morning if you need to come and respond to God.